This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Hey everyone, this is Thomas Estrada, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 247 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, this is Jimmy. This week, we got a great show coming to you, and let me introduce who we have on with us today. Hey, Ed, how's it going?
Hey, Jimmy, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. Thanks for asking. Also this week, we have Sam.
It is Christmas in July, Jimmy. How about that?
Doesn't feel like Christmas here, buddy.
I can imagine. Check this out. It's Christmas in July 2018. Did you know back in show number 44 in 2014, we did Christmas in July? And then 2 years later, in 2016, we did Christmas in July Sounds from the Park in show number 142. And now here we are 2 years later with another Christmas in July. So this is three Christmas in Julys for the Disney Nerd Podcast that are completely different.
Oh, that's great. And you know what it is? It's July. You actually start thinking about those Christmas holiday plans. So it's a perfect opportunity to kind of get a little Christmassy, little holiday.
So to be absolutely clear, the Disney Nerds Podcast was invited to the Disney Parks Christmas in July media event, where we were introduced to the new things that would be happening for Christmas 2018, got to preview and sample a couple of the tours, and got a presentation on what was changing for 2018. And all of this is based on that event. So thank you very much, Disney Parks, for allowing us to attend Christmas in July. We look forward to more in the future and bring that information to you right from the source. So that said, Disney is in the Christmas in July spirit, and they've recently introduced and told us what's new as far as Christmas goes. And I was lucky enough to experience a little bit of this down at Walt Disney World as part of the Holiday Delights and Yule Tide Fantasy Tour preview. So that's pretty cool.
No doubt it was. So what's that encompass? What went on?
So I did a whole bunch of things, but what I want to kind of do is peel back the onion a little bit, look at what these tours are, the Holiday Delights Tour and the Yuletide Fantasy. We also talked about Gardens of the World Tour, which is another tour. But lots of things happening. One of the interesting things that I noticed, all of these tours are Adventures by Disney. So I thought it was interesting to see that Adventures by Disney is taking over some of these itineraries and some of the things that are happening down there at the world.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not exactly sure. I think these guys, the tour guides, were phenomenal. You could tell that for Christmas in July, they were rehearsing and tweaking and getting some of their spiels down, which will be part of these tours when they start in November and when they both start in November. But it's interesting to see that Adventure by Disney. Maybe they have the better way of getting the tour guides together, the groups together. It's kind of neat.
So just in a nutshell, these are guided tours just for the holidays where they're going to take you around different parks and different parts of the parks and basically tell you things about the holidays?
That is exactly right. And they are two very, very different tours. Let me start with the they've both been around, and of course they've both been tweaked because every year they make some changes to this. The Yuletide Fantasy Tour. This is a $139 tour. And when I say prices, you know, your annual pass, your DVC, even Chase discounts might apply. So make sure you ask for those discounts. This one is select dates from November 19th all the way through December 29th. You go backstage to discover the logistics involved in the wintertime transformation at Walt Disney World Resort for every holiday. It's a 3.5-hour tour that allows you to discover holiday services, cast members' themes, how they design the decorations, and how they get things ready for the resorts. You also get to take a trip over to the floral department, which is a separate building, and that's where you get a behind-the-scenes look at how they create the special floral displays for the holidays. It's also the place where if you order anything to a room at your resort, maybe a bouquet of flowers, maybe a gift package, all of that stuff is packaged up, and you get to see the logistics. Walk through the flower cooler where they have all of the fresh flowers that are flown in every day. It's really cool. And then that ends up over at Disney Springs where you get to create a gingerbread man. I wasn't able to do a gingerbread man. I did a unicorn because they weren't quite ready for the holidays. But that's over at Emirates, the new patisserie that's in Disney Springs. It was quite the experience, to say the least.
What part of Disney Springs is that in? I'm not familiar with it.
It is the brand new location directly next to World of Disney, right by the World of Disney restrooms.
Gotcha.
And it's a phenomenal patisserie. In fact, part of the tour was to sit down there and get a tour of it. They showed us some of the things that they're working on there when it comes to their edible art. Is really what they call it. And this is the ability to really take art and be able to eat it.
Very cool. So what did you experience?
So at Amorette's, they're famous for their edible art. And we saw some of the concept art or the design for what they call their small cake with Christmas decorations throughout it. They also had some really cool looking gingerbread men, or really they were cupcakes decorated for Christmas, and it's really edible art is what these guys are all about. And it was kind of cool, and that's part of that tour, the Yuletide Fantasy Tour. Through here, the one building that you went through, the Discover How Holiday Cast Services Are Made, there were two buildings that I went through, and they're both part of these different tours. So let me touch on one. And this is the building where they call it Holiday Services. It's the Holiday Building. This is a 54,000 square foot building, and I want to call it the ultimate holiday store. And to kind of compare that, an average Home Depot is about 104,000 square feet, so figure about half the size of a Home Depot. And it looked like a Home Depot when you go into the lumber section, and you have the rows and rows and racks all the way up to the ceiling of this huge warehouse with lumber, because they consider this thing both fabrication, design, and delivery. So they start with the wood, just like you would at Home Depot. That's what the first rows are. Then the second row, there are rows and rows of crates of Christmas decorations. You name the decoration, the bulb, the size, all of them categorized and inventoried. Then behind that, you have rows and rows of garland that are strung out, and there are miles and miles of garland. Then the row past that is where you saw the work orders, and there were workers that would be pulling garland and laying it and stretching it across the floor, and then they're putting the different decorations themed on it based on what they're building at that particular time. And then when they were done, the next row back would be a pallet that was just completely shrink-wrapped, ready to roll, and it would say something on the side like Boardwalk, and it was in the staging area to be delivered to Boardwalk for Christmas. Everything indexed and categorized. It was absolutely amazing to see the way this thing worked.
That's pretty cool.
It is one heck of a system, that's for sure. And that was the larger part. Then sort of behind it, I'm going to call it the workshop. The workshop was a separate room you walked into. It was air conditioned very nicely, and there were 14 huge workstations that were as long as maybe half of a bowling alley. And you just had people that were there working, decorating, building things. One of the things they were showing us was they were building the Christmas trees that would be part of the Christmas tree trail at Disney Springs. And they told us a little bit about some of the new ones that are coming out, and I'll share some of that later. But it's absolutely huge and amazing. These guys not only are responsible for decorating all of Walt Disney World, they do all of the DVC locations around the world. They do Disney cruise lines, including Castaway Key. The facility is just amazing, and it is Santa's workshop. Unreal.
I can't believe they're working on the Christmas trees already. That's crazy, huh?
They're absolutely working on the Christmas trees. And in fact, during the other tour, we were in another building. So I'll get there in a minute. But they were working on the Christmas trees because the Halloween stuff was already all staged and ready to leave, which is just boggles my mind when you look that we're only about a month away from the first Halloween party, which is nuts, but really interesting. So that's the first tour. That's the Holiday Yuletide Fantasy. The other one is the Holiday Delights Tour. Now, this is a much longer tour. This is a six-hour tour. This takes you behind the scenes at Epcot and Magic Kingdom. This one's considerably more in price. It's $279. That does include lunch. There are some age restrictions on this as well because you are backstage. In fact, when you come out of these buildings, you can see the transportation barn, which is the building where the trains are parked on the bottom and the monorails are parked on the top. So that's sort of where we are backstage to the right, which is really cool.
It's 13 and over?
12 and over.
12 and over, okay.
And under 18 have to be accompanied by a parent.
Gotcha.
So for the Holiday Delights Tour, experience an enchanted evening where you're with your holiday host who helps unwrap some of the secrets behind some of the most spirited traditions in Epcot and the Magic Kingdom. So you go backstage at two Walt Disney World theme parks, Magic Kingdom and Epcot. You meet the events and decorating support team responsible for the Cinderella Castle lights. Now, I was lucky enough to see the lights and actually touch some of the lights because they're not up on they're not on yet, right? And it was absolutely amazing to see these lights and how they work. The fact that it essentially fits over the turrets of the castle like a glove. It's a complete net that's painted the same color as the castle, so you can't see it. Then on top of that net, they weave the Christmas lights throughout this and zip tie everything down and make sure it's perfect. Everything screws together with Teflon tape and a silicon sail to make sure that it's waterproof. It was just amazing to see how they pulled all of this off for those lights and be able to touch them. Absolutely amazing.
Very cool.
One of the things that they mentioned is that the amount of electricity to run the lights for a night is about the equivalent to 3 dryers of clothes, which I thought was pretty interesting. Nice. Not a lot of electricity at all with those LED lights.
Yeah, not as much as you would think.
So
now they've obviously streamlined the whole thing now, because I remember when they first started using those lights, it always seemed like it would be a 6-month ordeal. You know, the 2 months putting them all up, then you got to the holiday parties, and then the 2 months getting them down again afterwards. The crane was always that big thing in the park. So definitely awesome how they get it up and down quicker now.
Yeah, it's a team of 16 people. It's the same 16 people that put it up and take it down. They showed us essentially a schematic or a map of Cinderella's castle, and every piece that was folded and checked before it was put in storage. So think a net. You pull it out. You unfold this net. It's labeled, and they know exactly where on Cinderella's castle it goes. They know exactly what it hooks to. They know exactly how to keep it in place. And they actually have people that spot the lights every night and look for any that might be burned out, and they can swap it out overnight, the one place where that might have gone down, which is really cool. Now, the cool part in this building is also fabrication and storage. They not only do the Cinderella Castle lights in this building, they also do the Food and Wine Festival, the Halloween party, and special events. So while we were walking through this warehouse, same thing, think Lowe's, your Home Depot, your huge racks of storage, and you could see in there things like That's for the Food and Wine Festival. Although Food and Wine Festival had already been shipped over to Epcot, the scarecrows that go in the front of Magic Kingdom for the Halloween parties, you guys have seen these decorations. I could see them on a pallet on a loading dock getting ready to be shipped. It was really cool to see those kind of things. You could see up on the top props for Andy's room. Andy's room's a New Year's Eve event that they have, and props for the pirate crews, all this stuff kind of hanging. It was really, really neat. I also learned that the lights on the castle, they don't take them down until the marathon. So they come down the Monday after marathon weekend. I thought that was interesting.
Hmm. They probably look pretty cool at night or in the
dark. They use them as a weenie. As Disney does for the runners that are approaching the finish line, where they can see the lights on Cinderella's castle in the distance and get there, which is really neat. The next part of the tour, which we could do, goes to Epcot, sort of behind the scenes. And that's where you get an inside, kind of behind the stage look at the Candlelight Processional. In fact, something that I think would be really cool, they actually put – you get to wear an earpiece while you're watching Candlelight Processional where you hear everything that's going on backstage, which I think would be really neat to sort of experience because there's a lot of moving pieces and parts when it comes to Candlelight Processional. I learned a couple of other interesting things as well. You know that there's the gold robes and the green robes in the Candlelight Processional. You guys have all seen this, right?
Sure.
So the gold robes – are auditioned school children, and there's up to 600 of them a night. The green robes are auditioned cast members. So that's the difference between them. I didn't know that. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Up to 600 a night. That's a lot of people to get on that stage. And when you add the orchestra and add everybody together, they actually have a building in Epcot backstage, which we couldn't get to because it wasn't set up for the Candlelight Processional, where they have the exact same setup as the Candlelight Processional, and everybody gets in their spot backstage before they do the parade out to get into their places. That's one of the keys for them being able to get into the rows as quickly as possible because they know exactly where they're going. They have paramedics and a nurse backstage at all times. And they also have the ability to take any one person off of the stage without disrupting the stage. So if somebody isn't feeling well or needs to get off the stage, they can take them off. And they basically said you would never notice from the audience that somebody was pulled off. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
They told the story of the white glove, which is kind of interesting. The white glove, the Michael Jackson glove, is the most important part of the Candlelight Processional. When you see everybody marching out in that big, long line, and there are people on the stage there to tell them, okay, you go down this row, and then the next person goes down the next row. The person wearing the right glove is the person that starts the next row up. So that's how they know when to break it. So the person waves their hand, and that goes down the next row, and then until they see the next white glove, and then they go down the following row. And it's kind of cool to see all that logistics come together.
Sure.
That's pretty interesting, the organization in that.
Yeah. So this tour, Holiday Delights, allows you to watch this room, go into this room backstage, and it also sets you up for VIP viewing of Candlelight Processional with that earpiece where you're listening to them backstage and you can hear things that are happening that the rest of the audience has no idea what's going on. I thought that was pretty cool.
As in like light cues or next?
As in light cues, what's next, or if there's an issue, somebody's having an issue hold, on stage.
Hold, stretch it, something like that.
Yes, you get to listen to the production manager who is talking to all of the people around the stage that have their earpieces in. You're listening to that conversation.
Very cool.
I just thought that could be really, really cool.
Could get a little embarrassing at times, I'm sure.
Possibly. So the tour is Magic Kingdom. Watch how the lights are installed. There's actually a really cool photo opportunity with those lights as well. Then you go to Epcot backstage to see how Candlelight Processional goes. You get information about the Candlelight Processional. You get to watch it. And then you get a VIP spot for Illuminations with the holiday tag, which is really cool. And in fact, during the tour, we got some really cool details on Illuminations and the fireworks. In fact, we were able to see some of the fireworks. one of the eight inch shells was cut in half, and you could see inside of it sort of how the pattern works and how it blows up and blows out. It was really cool.
Oh, awesome. Did they tell you what shell it was? Like what part of the show?
If they did, they told us what part. They told us the name, which I could not write down fast enough. I didn't mention no recorders and no photographs during this tour. So I was making notes as quickly as I could while they were talking, trying to be my good reporter self. I did get a lot of things, right? Like every firework has a name, although I didn't get some of the names. You know, there's a lift charge, a timed fuse. Disney invented nautical fireworks. Those are the ones that get shot out onto the lagoon, and then they sort of do a light plume a little while later, which is really cool.
Hmm.
I also got to hold one of the pixels from the Earth globe. So when they recently redid the Earth globe part of Illuminations, instead of having multiple screens that are all attached to each other, it's a combination of these pixels that look like almost an old radio tube, if anybody knows what I'm talking about there, where it's a pixel that plugs in. It's about as big as what can I compare it to? Maybe smaller than a water bottle, but that's similar size that sort of plugs in, and that's the pixel that gives you the images around the globe.
Nice.
And they're pixels because they lose some of them every once in a while. Mm. And especially when there's only 3 inches of clearance on each side, 6 inches total, when that barge comes under that spot in World Showcase where the bridge goes up. And inevitably, it is a human-piloted thing. They lose a couple a week where it'll hit a tree branch and break one. And instead of replacing a whole pattern, they just pop one of these pixels in, which I thought was really cool.
Like a Christmas light.
Like a Christmas light. Yeah. Yes, exactly. One light, plug it in.
That's cool.
Another very interesting thing was the government work that happens backstage that accounts for every single firework that goes off at Walt Disney World. Illuminations uses about 1,000 pounds of fireworks every night, and they track every one. In fact, it gets tracked from their inventory, which is tracked to get to their spot. It gets loaded. It gets shot off. They have systems that account for every one of the mortars that were shot to make sure that they either blow up or they're fished out the next morning. Thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, definitely to keep track of them. I guess it's a matter of you can't have a bunch of shells piling up down underwater.
Or you don't want an explosive that has not blown up to be anywhere, right?
Sure.
Good point.
Which was interesting. Then there was time for question and answers. I thought one of the best questions was, what happened to the burn-off at the end of the day? So you guys may remember that Illuminations, after it was finished and after the park closed, they would do the burn off where they burned the rest of the gas that was in the Inferno barge before they took it back in the storage. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of like a big thing. Everybody stood around to see that. And it stopped doing that not long ago. I'm not sure if you guys noticed or we mentioned it on the show.
I remember them doing it. So I hadn't seen it in a very long time. And we've been there quite a while after Illuminations. And I remember before, if you stayed there late enough, like just wander around World Showcase, you know, if you just took your time on the way out, you would see them do it.
Yes. So they don't do it anymore. And the question was, what happened to it? Well, the answer is the reason they didn't want to do it anymore was I don't know a better way to say it. It was scaring guests, or guests were wondering what was happening when this was going on. They thought Epcot was under attack or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. So what they started to do is make an announcement around World Showcase to say, hey, we're burning off the rest of the fuel. This is no big deal. This happens all the time. And then they do it. Well, that didn't keep the calls from and coming from the nearby resorts that didn't know what was going on with this huge explosion that just happened in Epcot. Right. So now that burn off is actually part of the show. So in the first stage of the show, when they would normally do that part of, and we've been through Illuminations before, when they do the creation and the globe kind of blows up, they let it go until all the gas is gone. They don't stop it. So they've incorporated it into the show, which is probably a better idea anyway, right?
Sure.
I'm sure at this point they've done that show enough times that they have a pretty good idea how much fuel they're going to burn. So it probably doesn't carry a whole lot of excess.
Yeah, they just let that sucker go.
Yeah.
So the holiday D lights is the $279 tour. That includes lunch, and that includes backstage at Magic Kingdom and Epcot. You get to see the holiday lights that will be on Cinderella's Castle. I was lucky because they hadn't been hung on Cinderella's Castle yet. What you would see when you take the tour is sort of a mock-up. And the other thing that you'll see is some of the Halloween decorations in there, not necessarily the Christmas stuff, because a lot of the Christmas stuff will be hanging during this tour. Then it goes over to Epcot, where you get backstage for the Candlelight Processional, and then you get some of the illumination stuff. Some other little cool things in there as well that I didn't mention. The second tour is the Yuletide Fantasy. This is the shorter of the two. Holiday Delights is 6 hours long. Yuletide Fantasy is 3.5 hours long. This one's $139. This goes to the Holiday Services Center. This is where they actually prepare the decorations, the wreaths, the trees. I got to see all of the icon trees that we're taking apart in this warehouse. Obviously, you won't see those because they'll be out in the parks in December. But what you will see there are the Halloween decorations that have been taken down and are being cleaned and staged and checked and ready to go into storage. So you'll kind of see the Halloween stuff coming down while the Christmas stuff is out, which is really cool.
Awesome.
Those are the two big tours. Now, the other tour that they and that's enough right there, right? These are only available till Christmas. They're already at 50% occupancy or booked. So these are going pretty quickly. It's select dates. We'll have links in the show notes for these, but you'll find it in the standard Disney World event tours. Kind of cool.
Very interesting.
The other one that they mentioned, we didn't get to do any of this, but this was the Gardens of the World tour. Gardens of the World is an Epcot tour. There are two editions of this, the spring edition and the fall edition, and they ensured us that they are absolutely different. These are about $85 a person. The spring edition, as you would expect, is all about the Flower and Garden Festival. So this is all about getting backstage, looking at how they make the topiaries, being able to examine what landscaping and horticulture means to Walt Disney World, learn ways that you can do this stuff at home, and discover all of the planning materials and the different techniques that they're using for springtime. Kind of cool. And I think I might like to do this one.
Do you know what the cost is on that one?
Yes, this one's $85.
Oh, that's not terrible.
The fall edition is also $85. The fall edition, of course, is all about the International Food and Wine Festival. This three-hour tour immerses you in the world of edible trees, shrubs, and flowers. And really what this does, and the coolest part of both of these tours, it's not a tour guide. It's actually someone from the horticultural department that takes you around.
Okay.
Much like when we did Behind the Seeds, it was somebody that worked in the land.
Right. Nice.
Now, for Food and Wine Festival, there are gardens near all of the food booths that are used for spices or flavors or some of the dishes inside of these food booths. And that's really what this tour focuses on, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So two more options when it comes to tours for the holidays. And that's Christmas in July. But that was just, hey, take a look at these tours. Now let's go and talk about some of the cool new things that are going to happen for the holidays at Walt Disney World. And if you are one of our Facebook viewers and watch the Facebook live stream, I was able to get a preview of some of the holiday merchandise over at over in Epcot, which was really cool.
Awesome. Now, you can check that out on our Facebook page. We're also going to have that on our YouTube page, too. So you can check it out either place.
Absolutely. And this was a Christmas in July event with some of the merchandise all there. There's some cool things. I kind of like the ugly sweater. I think I could see you in that sweater there, Jimmy.
Did they start that last year?
They started it last year. This is a new design
this year. We should get those and wear them.
Now, I will say when you watch the live stream, keep in mind that it was Christmas in July and Steven from marketing was wearing a sweater in July in Florida. And that was...
he's got a great personality.
Absolutely. He was a great interview there. We also learned a few of the new things that are going to be happening at Walt Disney World. So very quickly, without getting into details, because we hope to have some details as it gets closer. Over at Hollywood Studios, Toy Story Land is going to get some seasonal fun. They're going to do a complete Christmas overlay to Toy Story Land, which is going to include new music and also include holiday songs for alien swirling saucers. That's kind of cool.
Oh, nice. And then that's actually was predicted, so I'm glad they're coming through with it.
I am very interested in what it will be. You can't talk alien swirling saucers without comparing it to Mater's Junkyard Jamboree in Disneyland. And we know that they do some really cool stuff for the holidays, both Halloween and Christmas. But we know here Toy Story Land will be Christmas ready for us. So that's pretty cool. Sunset Season's Greetings will be back on Sunset Boulevard. That's the projections that are going to be happening onto the Tower of Terror. And in fact, they have added additional lasers this year, which were not there last year. And the goal is for those lasers to be part of the show and really enhance the snow that will be falling on Sunset Boulevard.
It's a giant laser.
It's a giant laser, as he puts his pinky finger up to his mouth.
That's beautiful. Actually going to be more and more looking like they just have to add a lot more Christmas lights, and we're going to have the Osborne.
You have to wonder, right? I mean,
it's really kind of cool too. I've seen some of the artist renderings of this, and when you see it, you'll see the green and red of the trees. It almost looks like they have the lights lined up on the side of the street.
Good, Jimmy.
I know I've mentioned this to you guys, but I don't know if we've mentioned it on the show, but the official startup for that is November 8th.
November 8th, yes.
So we'll be there for that. So hopefully we can get some good coverage one day during that week.
Sure.
There for the meetups.
From November 8th until January the 6th. I should point that out too. So it goes almost a full week into January, which is cool.
And the 8th is a Thursday.
8th is a Thursday.
Just pointing that out. Very cool.
Yeah, very good. In fact, one of the things that they mentioned with the lasers, they found a way to make it look like a candy ribbon, if you're familiar with the candy ribbon that Grandma used to have out on her table.
The hard candy?
The hard candy ribbon, yes.
Interesting.
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam's coming back. Pretty cool. With enhanced special effects. I think that just means more fireworks, but I'm not 100% sure. Santa will be in Once Upon a Time shop on Sunset Boulevard. So this is interesting. Santa Claus is there from November the 10th until December 24th. Then when Santa has to go and do his job, Santa Goofy steps in from Christmas Day until the end of the event. That was kind of cool.
Nice.
That's all at Hollywood Studios. Of course, Magic Kingdom has the Very Merry Christmas Party coming back again. Once Upon a Time Christmas Parade, Totally Tomorrowland Christmas, Mickey's Most Merry Celebration, all of that good stuff. It is still Holiday Wishes. Epcot, starting November 18th, will have the Holiday Kitchens and the International Festival of Holidays again. Special Christmas entertainment at all of the countries.
Have we officially extended Food and Wine full year now? With all these events, I didn't even think of the Christmas event. Does that mean they have the food kiosks open for holiday foods too?
They will be holiday kitchens, and yes, they were open last year. Seasonal tastes from around the globe. In fact, what happens the day that Food and Wine closes? They put some of them disappear because there's not as many, mm-hmm. And the others immediately get some Christmas decorations and a sign that says "Coming Soon," the International Festival of Holidays, and it's about a week. Before the November 18th when the holiday kitchens open themselves up. And yes, then the holidays kitchens close and they become Festival of Arts. Then they close and they become Food and Wine. And then the only time we don't have the...
Well, you have springtime.
The summer.
And don't forget the springtime, you have the
spring flower and garden.
Flower and garden. Right.
Yes.
So yeah, well, yeah, eventually they'll come up with a reason to keep them over the summer. Although they need they need downtime to repair them. So that's
true. Well, if they're permanent buildings, just go for it, right?
Well, some of them have become permanent buildings.
A lot of them have, yeah.
Chip and Dale are back with their Christmas tree spree. That's the scavenger hunt around World Showcase once again. Illuminations gets the holiday tag, as always. And, of course, we talked earlier about Candlelight Processional, which is once again back.
Right. And they have started announcing hosts for that. It was probably about half of them were on there. I remember seeing Gary Sinise, and I forget who was actually there for Christmas.
Neil Patrick Harris, Whoopi Goldberg, a lot of the ones that are normally there, Pat Sajak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely on my bucket list. I've never seen it in person.
Yeah, it's quite the show for sure.
And I tell you what, Candlelight Processional, you do not need a seat. You can enjoy it just as fully from the pathway behind it as you can from getting a seat inside it.
So you could watch it from a planner?
Sure, no doubt.
Absolutely,
could do that. The planter.
Interesting, here over at Animal Kingdom, we're going to see the Holiday Festival of Lights in India. Kind of interesting. Right, right. I don't There's have any more details
that
on that.
That is a holiday, the Festival of Lights. I forget the name of it. Cool.
Diwali?
Diwali. I think it's a D.
There you go.
I believe.
That is the Festival of Lights.
Nice. Very cool.
Disney Springs, the Christmas Tree Trail is going to be back. And apparently the Christmas Tree Trail at Disney Springs has been extremely popular. They mentioned that almost 1 million people walked through this last year.
Wow.
Sort of amazing.
Was it like a choice or did you have to walk through it?
No, this was a choice because this you have to go over to the west side to see this.
Okay.
They're adding new trees to this. They had some examples of trees from the past, which were a Dumbo tree from last year.
Well, now explain it to me a little bit. I haven't seen this. So is it basically a big Christmas tree lot you're walking through with different type of trees? Are they decorated? Are they painted? What's the deal?
They are all – interesting you ask that because they made a few changes this year for your shopping convenience. last year, they were trees that were essentially themed to some Disney character. Mary Poppins was very popular. The Dumbo tree was very popular. So you have a Christmas tree that's decorated to just that character. And people love to get their pictures taken in front of these. And it's just awesome. A Frozen tree, you name it. This year, they're adding the ability for you to purchase any of the ornaments that might be on the tree. At the end of the trail, there'll be a point-of-sale kiosk with some of the merchandise. I'm surprised they didn't have that last year, right?
Somebody thought of it walking through.
Somebody's walking through going, oh, where do I get this? And I guess last year, if you're over on the west side and you wanted an ornament and it's over in, you know, 12 Days of Christmas, which is all the way over on the other side of Disney Springs, so now you'll be able to purchase it right there. They mentioned a few of the new trees. We're going to see a Star Wars tree this year.
Oh, of course.
Sounds really, really cool. I stopped writing down when they said Star Wars.
Yeah, no, the star in that one. I want to have a couple of starfighters going around the star at the top.
That'd be so cool. The Death Star at the top, yes. I've seen that.
Death Star. Maybe you know, X-Wings and TIE fighters battling it out around the tree.
Nice.
Absolutely. That would be really cool. Stitch also has his holiday gift hunt. I think I already mentioned that. Santa Claus will be there accepting Christmas lists and from guests, which is kind of cool. Yep, Santa Goofy's going to show up over there, too, after Christmas to help out St. Nick after he does his big job there.
Nice guy.
And, of course, Disney Springs website will have lots of specials and things happening throughout the holiday season down there. And not to be outdone, the resorts are once again chiming in. From the Grand Floridian with the Gingerbread House, the Beach Club and Yacht Club will have an edible spinning carousel in the holiday tradition, which is kind of cool. And Fort Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge will have some really cool, massive Christmas trees, which is cool.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a great time of the year to be in the parks.
So the only other thing they added, and I want to mention it because it's July, because if you want to do this, you need to book it in July. And that is New Year's Eve at Walt Disney World.
Mm.
There are three parties happening. The Pixar Party, a New Year's Eve celebration, is over at the Contemporary. That is a kids-friendly Andy's Room interactive play area with a spot to watch Magic Kingdom fireworks. There's also a Disney Countdown to Midnight. And there's a VIP option at the Ink and Paint Club, which is sort of your more formal sort of New Year's Eve gathering. Those will sell out before the end of August. So if you have any indication that you're going to be in Walt Disney World for New Year's Eve, you need to get those things booked.
Sweet.
Nice. Now, Jimmy, can you book that type of stuff?
I can assist with it. Some of them I can book directly, but a lot of them I can't. But I could certainly assist with it, gotcha. Getting them in the right place.
Right. Cool.
Once again, Tricircle D Ranch will be doing carriage rides and their holiday sleigh rides. Board your sleigh for a 25-minute ride at the Main Street entrance of Crockett's Tavern at the cabins and campsite of Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort. Holding 4 adults or 2 adults and 3 children, sleigh rides are $84 and a great way to ring in the holidays.
Nice. Now, I wonder if they have a trail or something that they go over as opposed to just looking at other people's campers and tents and such. To make it a nice holiday.
I've not done this. I would love to do this. Wonder if we have a listener that might have. Sounds cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe they take you through the campground because, you know, during Christmas, all of those campsites, the majority of them decorate like out of the wazoo. So maybe.
True, perhaps. Maybe that's
part of it.
Yeah, but I think they have something structured. We'll have to do a little homework or, like Sam said, if somebody's done it, definitely give us an email. We'll either throw you on the show for a quick interview, or you will tell, you know, basically pass on what you say.
I just want to get my Santa hat on right now. And
yep. And this is over at Fort Wilderness. So it's pretty cool. You do take probably the best way is from the Magic Kingdom or from one of the monorail hotels. Just basically take the boat over there. You can take a bus, but to me, you got to get to the front of the resort. The Fort Wilderness, and they got to take another bus from there to the back.
I've only been there once, we went there for a couple minutes when I was there in June. Mm-hmm. When we did the fishing charter, we left out of the Polynesian, but I guess the office is over at Fort Wilderness, so they stopped there. You have to go pay at the little place right by the water.
Yeah, that's really odd.
And then they drive you back to the Polynesian.
Gotcha. That's a long trip unless you were fishing over there too.
Well, I think they design it where they start over. Like we started fishing over by the Poly, right in front of Magic Kingdom. Then we kind of worked our way over to right where Fort Wilderness is.
Gotcha.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to book my holiday trip. In fact, DisneyWorld.com/holidays is a new link that'll give you some of the other details as well.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely got to check that out. I know we're going to get a little taste of the holidays when we're down there for a big get-together in November, so I'm kind of psyched about that. Yeah. And don't forget, guys, this is July, and what we're doing is putting the idea in your head because if you do want to go, just like Sam said, you got to take advantage and make your plans now. Don't forget, Jimmy can help you out with those types of plans. Get in touch with him. Jimmy, how can everybody get in touch with you and the show?
To get in touch with me, they can reach out to onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com, reach out to me via Facebook at onceuponatimetravel, or send me a personal message on Facebook. And you can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast and Twitter @TheDisneyNerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time. All right. For myself, Ed, and Sam, we're the Disney Nerds Podcast. Quaharini.
Kongaloosh.
See you later, guys. Click.
Compulsory.